You're listening to an Across the Nations podcast from Grace Baptist Mission. I'm Jim Sayers, and in this podcast, I'm talking to Graham and Sally Jones, who serve in Western Kenya, about their ministry of training and supporting pastors in rural churches in the area around Kisumu. Well, it's lovely to welcome Graham and Sally to our studio. It's been a couple of years since we talked on Prayer Waves, and I was in your house, so welcome to Abingdon. You've come over for a hospital appointment, a health check. Sally, how did that go?
Yeah, that was yesterday, Wednesday the 25th. It went really well, and the blood tests come back in the afternoon, straight after the appointment, and I'm now still in full remission. So
your kidney
really
function is good.
It is very good, yeah. So that's really encouraging. So we go back and come back for another check in 6 months.
Okay, yeah. So you're back in the UK for how long?
It's about 2 weeks. We're visiting 8 churches, Sally's health check, touch base with a few family members, go back 7th of October.
And here we are at the end of September in huge political turmoil. You come back to a country having a nervous breakdown. but how does life in Kenya compare with life in the old country, which you haven't lived in now for over a dozen years?
13 years now. Yeah, Kenya muddles through politically. There have been some good changes. There are a few people in court now for corruption cases, rather than not making it to court. We're still waiting to see Big Fish really caught and put in prison. The government's working quite hard on some of its development projects, but everything's still working towards the next election in 2022. So we've got a few years of stability, and then we'll build up to 2022 elections.
And Sally, what do you notice about Britain?
Life here is so fast. We do 3 or 4 things in one day, whereas when we're in Kenya, you would probably go out in the morning, stay out all day, you know, visiting somebody, doing a teaching meeting, and you come back in the evening, and then your evenings are in the house because it's not really safe to go out. Whereas here, we can go out and do something in the morning and then, you know, different things during the day. So it feels a lot quicker here.
And by contrast, you're coming from an interesting collection of churches in the Kisumu area of Western Kenya with a lot of life and energy. What do British churches look like by comparison?
They're bigger, some of them, not all of them. Certainly, teaching is much better, and so therefore Christians have a much better understanding of their faith. And I think it will be true to say that more people are really living out biblical teaching in this country. That is still a big need in Kenya for people to really be discipled and to, you know, it's actually to really make a difference in their lives.
But the churches themselves that you're visiting, how are we doing as churches?
People are very supportive, very prayerful, very faithful. But it would be true to say that the majority of the prayer meetings we've been to, there aren't many new people at the prayer meeting. There may be a few on Sunday in congregations.
So you've been to these churches on deputation many times through various cycles sort of thing.
Yes, and it's good that people are faithful and supporting, but we need to see the new people coming on Sundays come through to pray as part of the church and thus take an ongoing interest in mission. It's lovely having people come up and ask questions of things that happened last year or the year before because they've been interested in the work. And so I think our constituency is very faithful and very committed, but we do need to see a renewal of that.
Okay, now let's go to what you're doing in your particular area of Kenya. Just describe Western Kenya in its sort of church situation, Graham.
There are, amongst the Grace Baptists, there are 25-plus Grace Baptist churches, mainly in rural areas. Great opportunities to work alongside the pastors and Sally for the pastors' wives to try and encourage the church. In our 13 years, there are about 2.5 times more churches now than there were when we started, because the Kenyans just keep planting churches. They set up a Bible study, people hear God's word, they get converted, they join the church. Others like good biblical teaching, and so they come. So that's a real dynamism, but it means you have to keep finding new leaders. You have to keep training the new people who can take up the ministry.
And they are building those churches in the spiritual sense with very few resources. You know, they don't need much to put up a tin hut or whatever, do they, to meet in and so on. And they get on with it.
Yeah, there is a real initiative taking kind of sense there, which is good. And a real desire to share God's word. And because generally there is a dearth of good biblical teaching, our pastors have had some training in Nairobi in times past, more locally with us the last number of years, and that has given them a message to share. Several do teaching events for other pastors, and that's another part of the work.
So they are passing on what you're training them to understand to another wave of people.
Yes, Roy said to me the other day, did I have those notes on what is a church and appointing leaders? And I gave some notes out in 2009 when we did some things at his church. He'd been up at Lokichogyo with Murph training church leaders up there, and he'd used those notes and left them with them. And so he wanted another copy, which is why he was asking me. And then I saw Douglas, and he'd been doing the teaching at the AIC conferences over the summer. And he said, you gave some notes earlier this year at the Pastors Fraternal, and they asked me to do the same issue, spiritual warfare. And so I used your notes for the whole week. So it's really good that our pastors are getting chance to share good teaching with others. Yeah.
And one of the things I remember, Sally, is that when we were in the church in Miranda, you had carrier bags full of Luo Bibles, and people were buying them everywhere you went. And does that say something about the lack of literature and so on? And this is the first book people have owned and so on?
Yeah, there's very little literature in Luo. So there is a Bible. There are a couple of hymn books. One of the things we've been doing is getting Bible study books translated into Luo, Sunday school resources translated into Luo. But yeah, there is definitely a lack of books in Luo, which is their tribal language. So that's a big issue.
And you're taking bookstalls out to all sorts of gatherings?
Yeah, during August, Graham particularly and I've done some. We've done some bookstalls and tried to sell literature. But a lot of that is still in English. And so to access that, people have got to be able to read English. But that's increasing because primary school has been free now for a number of years. And so more people are coming through the system and teaching in school is done in English after a certain age. So that will improve, but they still need stuff in their mother tongue. That's their heart language. Mm. That's how they feel and how they think.
So and most of those churches will be working in Luo. The pastors will be preaching in Luo.
Yeah, most of the ones that we're working with are Luo, but we do also work with a few that are speaking Kiswahili. But the majority in our area are Luo speakers, yeah.
Now, since I was with you 2 years ago, the big thing to develop has been teaching the next generation. Graham, just explain to us how this came together and what you're aiming to do with this particular course.
Two of the pastors, Washington and Roy, they had done previous courses with us. And when those courses finished, instead of saying, can we have a new course? They said, can we do something for younger pastors and a wider group of people in the churches? And so it was their vision that set us off on this new track. So the last 2 years, we've been running this Training the Next Generation. It's got three parts. For the younger pastors, I use a Bible college course, Explore, from South Africa. That's in English. But there are elders and deacons who can't manage enough English to do that course. And so Washington and Roy have done a Luo-speaking course.
Is that based on the same kind of material or what they've gained from the More College course? Sort of thing?
Yeah, using that knowledge. They've been using Missi Magja Christo, which is a Luo version of a Christian basics course that John Hall wrote originally that we translated. And so what is God? What is man? What is sin? Salvation? The church? Baptism? Because we're trying to help these elders and deacons understand a bit about the Bible is teaching and more of what church should be like.
And have a good doctrinal framework so that they can handle anything that's thrown at them pastorally.
And so for them, it's the first time they've been able to sit and have that in Luo. And so it's a great opportunity. So there's Explore for pastors, the men's Luo group for elders and deacons. And they also wanted a group for their wives and for the ladies in the church. So Sally has been running that.
So what's that been like, Sally?
So we did a Bible overview, basically, which took us about 2 years.
So it wasn't shallow.
Well, it was slow because most of these women are not really very well educated. They struggle to think for a whole day. So I had to come up with lots of kind of almost Sunday school type ideas, you know, of little activities that we would do. But that's what we did in our course. We basically did a Bible overview. So,
and this is a very oral culture, is it? Where there's a lot of conversation and not a lot of reading from something written down.
Definitely, yeah. And so I think the pictures are done by CEP, Christian Education Press, something like that. And they basically tell the story of the Bible in pictures. And so we use that every time and built on that. And so I kept referring back to that. But I wanted as well to encourage them to actually open their Bibles. And so we did look at you know, Bible passages as we went through. But yeah, we had to do a lot of discussion, a lot of activity to keep them on board, really, and telling a lot of the stories.
Mm-hmm. And for most of these pastors and their wives, what is life like? Are they subsistence farmers?
Yeah.
What's daily life like?
Yeah, daily life is basically farming. Yeah, so one, the ladies, Lorna, who we're talking about in our presentation as we're going around, she's married to Morris. They have land. They grow bananas and other things. They have chickens. More recently, they've got into having pigs. And now they have piglets. They've had a couple of litters of piglets. And they can look after them, feed them up, keep them healthy, and they sell them at the market. And that provides their income.
And you go into most of our churches and people are sat for most of their working day in front of a computer. That's a huge generalization, but
right.
You know, we work with computers and these people work with animals. And so just understanding the thought processes and the way they learn, and they've probably got more time for reflection, have they, in doing all of those sort of physical things?
Yeah, although they're quite busy. I mean, I don't know how much they think. I think thinking and learning is in their culture is very much confined to school. And so there's this idea of sort of, you know, you learn in school, you pass exams, and then almost after that you stop. Whereas I think in this country, you know, we have parenting courses, we have marriage development courses, we expect to go on learning.
In-service training.
Whereas they don't really think like that so much. So to get the women and some of the men together, just to do things that don't have a certificate at the end, but are actually for just for our own benefit, to help us to learn, is not really something they're greatly used to.
And you've got a women's Bible reading scheme?
Yeah, so the Grace Baptist Women's Association conference in Kent very kindly gave us a generous donation and asked for it to be used for the women's work. And so we launched a Bible reading scheme. And so we can print off the internet Mark's Gospel in Luo. So we printed Mark's Gospels in Luo, and then we gave everybody a workbook. And the idea was that they would read a bit of Mark's Gospel every day. They have a workbook and it tells them each day what to read. And then they have to write out the main verse of that passage. We told them what it was. So they read Mark's Gospel. They copy out the main verse. They tick the box to say, I've done day one. The next day they do the same thing again. And by the end of the month, they'll have read the whole of Mark's Gospel. Then they handed them in to me. I checked to make sure they completed all the day's daily readings. And then we sold them a Bible for a greatly subsidised rate. We normally sell at 700 shillings and we sold at 300 shillings, which is about £2.50.
Okay. Yeah. And that's the whole Bible in Luo.
That's the whole Bible. The aim is that having read the Bible every day for a month, they will have started to at least get into the habit of reading the Bible every day. And so then they buy their own Bible and we hope that they will carry on reading. And we gave them just a little Bible reading plan in Luo, which goes for a whole year when they buy their Bible. So hopefully they will use that. But that's something we'll need to come back to. You know, when I go around the churches again, we'll have to keep encouraging them. And that starts with the pastor's wives, really, to make sure that they are reading their Bibles and they can encourage the women in their churches to read their Bibles.
And outside of Christian literature, there's not much in Luo?
No.
They haven't got a literature that, so reading is a normal thing.
No, they don't generally read. I mean, if they have radio, they might listen to that. Some of our pastors and wives now have television, but reading is not something that they would do for pleasure. There's not much leisure time either, so
no,
they don't.
No. And it gets dark in the evening and you've got to have the light on.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so there are lots of challenges.
Yeah, okay. Now, let's go in another direction. Graham, I'm fascinated by your recent prayer letter that said we had a pastor's fraternal that looked at the spirit world and a Christian response to the spirit world. Big issues in your local environment.
Yeah, very much so. In the African thinking, you know, God deals with mankind through the spirit world. And part of the spirit world is the ancestors who have died. And so what you do in relation to those ancestors is very important. So we've had a couple of fraternals looking at these types of issues. And they know you should not contact the dead. They know that, you know, we come through Christ to God. And so they've been taught the kind of basic theology. But what happens to a believer after they have died? What happens to an unbeliever after they have died? How do you deal with those kind of issues? And so we spent a while, we do it in a kind of discussion format. I would kind of teach for 10 minutes and then we discuss the range of issues. And we're using a couple of books that we found. And one of the pastors, Daniel, he shared this story. His mother died in 2015. She belonged to the Rojo sect. None of Daniel's family belong to the Rojo sect now. But since 2015, the elders of the Rojo sect keep coming to him because he has to sacrifice a bull, and part of this bull needs to be offered to his mother, who has died, in order that she will not afflict his family, his wider family. And so, although he knows it's wrong as a pastor, he teaches against it, they have been coming now for 4 years, and they will carry on coming. Because the spirit will know if his brother substitutes a bull or somebody else comes in. So it has to be him, and he has to do it in this way. And he's just saying, no, I cannot do that. We do not believe that anymore. We don't follow that way. And so there's a lot of pressure. So when one of his cows died, you can guess what the community thought about Pastor Daniel and his lack of appeasement of his mother's spirit. And these are the kind of things that are around in everyday life. And so lots of the pastors were saying how helpful it had been, how interesting to think your way through from a Christian perspective some of these things.
Now, some of those things are tradition and folk belief and so on. Is there also more of a sense of the devil being at work? Does, you know, the real devil commandeer those things and work through them? Or
there is just tradition and the way people do things, but there is a spiritual environment there. Everyone believes in the spirit world, and that opens the door for Satan to be very much at work with the ignorance and superstition and false teaching. You know, many people then see some of those things. There are some very real events. I agree that there are a lot of people who are making money and hoodwinking people and are just, but Satan is very real and very at work. He blinds the minds of unbelievers through all this type of teaching, which takes them away from faith in Christ and trusting in the true God of heaven.
And that when someone is truly born again, he is banished. And that's a very powerful thing, isn't it? In their culture, they will notice the difference far more than our deeply secularized society sort of thing.
Yeah, and it's helping them to see how to deal with the little charm that they've got sewn into their belt, helping them to think about this pressure that is coming from society. Or if you've gone to a funeral and what has happened there, where you put the body, which angle you dig the grave. Mm. There are lots of those things that are connected through these things, and how Christians need to think their way through how these issues impact them and their faith.
And delve back into medieval England, and you've got the same things as well, haven't you? Yeah. There's a very good book on this by Ian Flanders called The Gospel in African Soil, and I guess lots of our listeners ought to get a copy of that, because it's a simple introduction to how African traditional religion works in that way.
Yeah, and some of those, the ways that they think and how that affects how you need to teach, the issues you need to cover, bit by bit, and how you need to apply it, because, you know, Jesus is victorious at the cross over sin, death and Satan, and we're looking forward for the consummation of the new heaven and the new earth.
So what happens at a pastor's fraternal? You get people together for an overnighter. What do you pack in?
Yeah, so usually they come, they have to travel. People travel during the daytime, arrive about 1 o'clock. We have lunch. We'll do a devotion, sing some hymns at the beginning, and we'll pick up on a Bible study. Often that first session, I would do much more teaching and lay down some of the basic things we're going to look at over the next 24 hours. Cup of tea. We always drink tea in Kenya. Tea is very important.
The place is layered with tea bushes everywhere, isn't it? So, yeah.
Then more teaching. And it's we usually, now the last few years, we've used this discussion kind of format. I will teach a little bit, ask questions. We look at Bible passages, try and apply them. After dinner, we would have a prayer time. So we would go around, they would share news from their churches, particular needs, and we pray for each congregation. Then the next morning, we start about 8 o'clock. And again, we've got two more sessions, same sort of ideas, 12:30, 1 o'clock, have lunch. And then it's time to go home, because they need to get home before it's dark. Some of them have come 4 or 5 hours by public.
And they'll be
transport.
Sitting in a little Mutatu bus or whatever it's called,
to get home,
bumping along round the potholes to get home,
and then sitting on the back of a little motorbike to do the last 2 or 3 kilometres to their home. They really enjoy them. It's time for fellowship, it's time for teaching, it's time to support one another, and they've been very valuable in our period. And Sally does a similar event for pastors' wives.
Now, you've both been there now for 13 years. You've seen lots of other missionaries come, serve what's considered a long period of time and wave goodbye. So you're the veterans now in Kisumu. What advantages does that give you? You've invested a lot in friendships and so on. What does that give you?
I mean, it gives you a much better understanding of how things work. We now know that if you ask somebody how much this thing costs, you are basically offering to buy it for them. Now, those are very unfortunate communication errors that you can make, and you learn some of those things over time.
We still make mistakes,
clearly, yeah. But you get to know people better, you know their history, you know the history of the church. So I think just that, really, that you have a much better understanding, and you understand the environment and the issues culturally. So when I'm teaching women, in this country, probably you would have to encourage Christian women to submit to their husband. In that culture, you have to raise them up, because even in the church, they can be quite downtrodden. So you have to know what's going on in the background to know how specifically you apply the Bible's teaching to them. So over time, I think that becomes easier, and that's much more helpful. And because we've been there a long time, we get more opportunities. We've been invited to speak at Africa Inland Churches more recently, and we get other opportunities, so that's good to influence other groups as well.
How does that work then? What an AIC church calls you in for something, what are they wanting you to do?
So because I teach at an AIC Bible college about once a year for a term, we know lots of the chaps who are involved in those churches. And so often they want leadership training. They have a pattern of electing new leaders every 5 years. And so we went to a Pai church, and there are 5 congregations. They wanted to do some sessions on leadership. And because Sally can do things for the women leaders, Sunday school leaders, women's workers, committee members, I can do it for pastors, elders, deacons, youth workers. And so we start all together. I will do some teaching on the church, what the church is like. Then we split into groups. I did some things on being a servant, being a steward, being a shepherd. We looked at leadership in real life, in the life of Samuel. Sally, you did some things on biblical womanhood, didn't you?
Yeah, we looked at the foundation, you know, of what it means to be a woman from Genesis. We did some things on character, ways that we can serve in the life of our churches.
And then we all come together at the end of the day, and I just sort of try and draw the thoughts together as a conclusion. So we did a 2-day event for them. But in October, we'll do 1 day for another group of AIC churches. And then later in November, there's a new AIC region being created. So 28 pastors will come together and their wives for a day in November that we'll do.
So one of the things we have sitting here in the GBM radio studios is the awareness that, as well as a great long catalogue of Sound Words programs and Serving Today programs, there's booklets that go with them. And I can remember when I was with you that there were we were using a booklet on Exodus from Serving Today. And these are, to a British book buyer, you'd say, well, why would I want to pay money for that? Because it's just a little paper booklet of 10 sheets of paper. But in your context, it's a totally different story.
It is. They're just so helpful. There's the range of issues. The one on Exodus, how to preach Exodus, and 7 sermons. There are others like that. There are issues for pastors. So we just use them in a variety of contexts. When I teach at the Bible College, last time we used the one Peter, a Christ-made pastor, gave all the students one. And we used that in 7 of the lectures, working our way through the issues of Peter. We use other ones for Bible study aids to help people. I run several correspondence courses, and we usually then give booklets away as a result of that when they've completed a course. And so some of those that explain the gospel, some of them that help pastors to learn, they're very valuable in the work. And we can just print them where we are. I have a laser printer, and the machine will just churn them out. So we get through several hundred in a year of the booklets.
And you're taking a suitcase of them back this time.
Yep, we are. That would be great, because it'll save us printing them, and it means that they'll be well used. We sell them on bookstores, and we normally sell them for 50 shillings just to cover our costs of printing.
Which is 50p?
Yeah, 40p.
Yeah.
And so this summer we've had a little offer on them, so if they buy 2, they get 1 free. And we say to people, look, this hasn't got a glossy cover. It may not look much, but the content is excellent. I've particularly used the one that Sharon James is an edited version, really, of her God's Design for Women. It's called Biblical Womanhood Today. That's in the Serving Today series, I think. And it's just so clear. Mm. And there are different ones. I've used ones on Joseph. I've used them in my own preparation, as well as giving them to people there. And even, like you say, they don't look much, but they are excellent books. Mm. All the ones that we use, they're just so well put together and, yeah, very well written.
And just out of interest, I mean, the mobile phone revolution, is it beginning to make an impact where you are?
In the towns, people have access to electricity. These mobiles, they eat electricity.
Mm.
And so you do need to have some means of regularly charging it.
Mm.
And so in the towns, there are people who are accessing more things. Sadly.
So they're doing the downloads of audio stuff and so on.
Yeah, although the top five sites in Kenya are betting sites or pornography sites.
Well, that's probably true the world over, actually, but if we only knew. But.
So one of the churches recently, they did a Saturday for their young people to teach them how to use their mobile properly.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a godly way. Mm. In the rural, they use them, but they don't use the internet much because you're paying for data, you're paying to charge your phone. And lots of the guys we're working with, the pastors, they are in their 40s and 50s. And so reading stuff on a mobile phone is not their thinking.
And listening on a mobile phone?
A little bit. But again, it's the electricity issue.
Mm.
And so lots of them say, you know, I need it in my hand.
And their phone would be a block phone rather than a smartphone. And for a lot of people.
Over half have got small smartphones.
Right.
But the problem is those smaller smartphones don't have the capacity of the larger ones.
No.
So I tried to load an SD card at the Bible College for some of the young pastors, and their phones are not powerful enough to take the material.
So that is a generation away before that will.
At the moment, in our side of the country.
Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, we're aware that in other African countries, these things are really useful. And people, you know, I was saying earlier today, you know, people are using them in other places. But for us, it's at the moment, it's not there. The pastor's wives, one out of the group doesn't even have a phone at all. So everybody else has a phone. And I don't think anybody's got a smartphone.
Right.
Of the women. Maybe one or two.
But they would be doing their M-Pesa transactions on a basic phone.
Yeah, you just need a £10 phone and you can do M-Pesa, which is mobile money, basically.
So you go into a little shop with an M-Pesa sign outside it, you pay some money, you get a code.
You give them your ID card, you tell them your phone number, you give them the money and it loads onto your phone and you can then send it to somebody else and they go to the kiosk where they live and they give their ID number, they give their phone and they get the money out.
There you go. So, and this was invented by the Department for International Development or something, wasn't it?
British companies, yeah.
Yeah, it was Vodafone, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a really big thing in lots of African countries.
But it's simple and therefore it works. So for audio, people are going to be listening to radio.
Generally, yeah. Yes. That's the main means they listen.
Yeah. And sadly, our shortwave broadcasts barely make it to Kenya because it's a long way away.
You can get the ones from down south that come up. Serving Today programme comes into Kenya. Yeah,
it does.
Yeah,
it does. Is that from Radio Joy in Tanzania or is that on shortwave?
Pass.
Okay. How can we be praying for you guys? What particular things should we be praying for as you head back in a week or two's time?
Well, we give thanks for Sally's health and the result from that, and we're grateful to God that she's still stable. There's always an adjusting period of getting back, a kind of re-entry into daily life and the way that you have to think and it operates and it works. So do pray for that. The Explore course continues. The pastors have now passed 4 of the 8 courses, so we're now on the books of Moses, the first 5 books of the Bible. So the first Saturday, I'll be doing an Explore study day for them, and then the exam will be in mid-November after a couple of other things.
I think just for perseverance, we've been there 13 and a half years. We're both people who like change. And so to carry on very long term can sometimes actually be more of a challenge than to do something different. So, you know, we believe very much that God is still calling us to be there. And so we need to persevere and to do it joyfully and to have the same enthusiasm that we had when we first went there. And also for our spiritual encouragement, you know, the reason that there are missionaries doing church work is because the churches are not strong. And that's even true in Kasuma. We belong to a church, but it's not like belonging to a church here. And so to get spiritual encouragement ourselves is more difficult. So, You could pray for that. We both belong to international Bible study groups. Graham meets with the men on Tuesday morning and I meet with the women on Thursday afternoons. So those are good times, but that's always an issue.
Mm-hmm. And long journeys on the road. The roads, yeah. You were saying when I was there, had improved considerably.
Yeah.
That, Ryder Odinga has got some money spent on the roads in the Kisumu area, which is good. But even so, no central reservations, and that's a worry.
Yeah,
you hear about some horrifying road accidents, don't you?
Yeah, we don't listen to the radio or put music on in the car because you have to concentrate. By the time you've dodged the animals, the matatus, the buses, the motorbikes, and the little tuk-tuks, you have to work hard at it. Several times you'll be having to move over because there are two vehicles approaching you. People don't always follow all the road signs, which they... In England, we're much more compliant.
We are. Yes. Yes, we won't park on a double yellow line, even though it's already more or less worn off or covered with leaves. We know it's there, and we know the traffic warden's there as well. Yeah, okay. I think that's a wonderful place to stop. Let's park and say thank you very much.
For more information about our work, visit our website, gbm.org.uk. Grace Baptist Mission is a church-based mission that helps churches to send and support their missionaries worldwide.